Thank you. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. The church learned a long time ago that people need a way to get ready to come close to a mystery like the Incarnation, the mystery we call Christmas. So the church set aside 4 weeks as a season of preparation. On the first Sunday of Advent, we remembered the prophets who pointed the way to Bethlehem. On the second Sunday, we remembered the Holy Family who invite us to walk with them on their journey. Today, the third Sunday of Advent, we remember the angels and their shepherds. The angels brought glad tidings of great joy to the humble, fearful shepherds. The candle today is the color of roses. It reminds us of the joyful song of the angels and the joy of the shepherds as they heard about this child who would bring peace on earth and goodwill to all people. O Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, desire of the world, Savior of all peoples, come and dwell among us.
Beloved in Christ, in this season of Advent, let it be our care and delight to prepare our hearts and minds for the mystery of the Incarnation and the coming of our Savior, who was and is to come. Amen. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. reading from the book of James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When John the Baptist heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. If, like me, you are a woman who grew up Catholic, perhaps especially during the time of Pope John Paul II, you might have a complicated relationship with Mary. You might not. You know Mary, the only person besides Jesus to have been born without the stain of original sin, the only woman to have both given birth and be praised for her lifelong virginity, and last but not least, one of the only humans who was assumed into heaven without suffering physical death. Mary, who is both Queen of Heaven and who is held up as a model of humility, passivity, and compliance. Like I said, it's complicated. Let me be clear that I do not in any way intend this sermon to be an anti-Catholic screed. Catholic theology and social teaching have shaped me for the better, and more importantly, have shaped some of the most important writers, mystics, artists, and activists to have ever lived. It's just that when I was a teenage girl with a wildly romantic imagination and teeteringly high intellectual ambitions, the version of Mary that I learned about in church didn't seem like much of a role model. She didn't inspire a sense of solidarity or even hope. Mostly, she made me feel like a failure before I'd even started. At some level, intentionally or not, the lesson I was taking in was that to be a good, faithful woman, you had to be like Mary. And to be like Mary, you had to be nothing like me. For one thing, I wasn't sure I wanted to be a mother. Obviously, I changed my mind about that. And for another thing, I thought that creating an ideal of womanhood best captured with words like vessel or handmaiden was deeply problematic. And I haven't changed my mind about that. And then came Our Lady of Guadalupe. Some of you have heard me preach about her before, so I won't go into the whole story in detail here. But at some point in my 20s, I learned about the appearance of the Virgin Mary to Juan Diego, a poor indigenous man living through the early days of Mexico's colonization by Spain. Mary not only appeared to him, she appeared as a young, brown-skinned indigenous woman speaking an indigenous language and raising the peasant Juan Diego to the level of a prophet who would be listened to by the rich and powerful in the church. Together, Juan Diego and Mary, in the guise of the Virgin of Guadalupe, changed history. This Mary, unlike the version I had taken in as a child, is an icon of solidarity, of liberation, of God's preferential option for the poor. The writer Christine Walters Paintner describes her as Mary, the mirror of justice. This Mary is a visionary, a seer, a woman who is qualified to stand alongside John the Baptist as one of the great prophets of reversal and restitution. John ushers in an apocalyptic age when the new life in Christ will be revealed to all. He urges us to repent and be washed in the waters of baptism, to give away anything extra we have and to prepare our hearts and minds for the arrival of God in our midst. Mary, meanwhile, actually brings God into our midst in her very body and ushers in new life on the waters of birth. The song she sings, and she sings it to John's mother, no less, is a song of protest. It's a victory song as she sees the reversal of fortune God so desires already coming to pass in the person of her beloved son. It is in that prophetic, mystical sense that I think Our Lady of Guadalupe is the same Mary whose words leap out at us from the pages of Scripture. The passage from the Gospel of Luke we hear today, also known as the Magnificat, is where I most clearly see the coming together of the Mary we find in the Bible with the Mary who appeared in Mexico 1,500 years later. As her soul proclaims the greatness of God and rejoices in God's saving power, she is able to sing, "He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." This is as strong an indictment of the status quo as anything you will hear from the Old Testament prophets or the most zealous political reformers. Mary's song is revolutionary, a cry of protest and resistance to all the forces of tyranny and injustice that seek to destroy the goodness and beauty of God's beloved creation. This Mary is anything but meek and mild. Rather, she is the woman clothed with the sun, crushing the serpent of empire and oppression under her feet. In her book, Birthing the Holy, Christine Walters-Paintner has helped me see that the figure of Mary goes far beyond any binary descriptions of her. What I learned about Mary when I was growing up wasn't wrong exactly, but it wasn't the whole story. Paintner's book explores more than 30 archetypes connected to Mary, reminding us that nothing about our understanding of the holy should be simplistic or dualistic. She writes, "Mary has been called the mother of contemplatives as she models the essence of what it is to be an active co-creator and participant in the divine unfolding. She stands with one foot in the earthy, finite world and one in the infinite, luminous realm and bridges that gap in our hearts. There's a tradition of stories of the seven sorrows she had to bear, and there is a parallel tradition of Mary's seven rejoicings. She is the container for our struggles and joys." That image of Mary as a bridge between two worlds is so resonant and wise. By bridging the gap between the earthly finite world and the infinite luminous realm, she is doing the same thing her son Jesus has come to do. She reminds us that both realms are indeed holy, sacred, beloved of God. We not only don't have to choose between them, but in reality, we can't. I also don't have to choose between being like Mary and being myself. Arguably, the most important thing that Mary did throughout her life was to say yes to God, and to do so wholeheartedly and with integrity. I, too, can say yes to God by being fully the person God created me to be, as you can, as all of us can. There's one more gap that Mary and the Magnificat can help us bridge. That is the gap between the sorrows of this world as we know it and the joy that God desires for us. That joy is not glib or superficial or fleeting. It is a stream running deep underground, breaking into the open at the most unexpected moments. God created us in and for joy, just as, to quote my favorite Bible passage, "He created the Leviathan for the fun of it." I know this is a very heavy morning in America, in Australia, in Gaza and Sudan and Ukraine, and in so many of our hearts. I will admit that when my alarm went off this morning, I thought about pulling the covers back up and not getting up. I didn't want to drive through the cold and fog, but mostly I didn't want to hear the news or think about the terrible stories that have been unfolding as I slept. What got me out of bed and into the car was the glimpses of joy I find in our community. It was knowing that you all would be here this morning. It was remembering the warmth of the baptismal pool last Sunday, and the joyful dancing and giggling of children. It was picturing the steady flames of our Advent wreath and the beauty of the rose-colored candle, the candle that calls us to joy. Joy at its purest is a form of resistance and resilience. Unlike anxiety and fear and depression, joy is hard for the empire to co-opt or control. Joy is what strengthens the weak hands and makes firm the feeble knees. Joy is the water that breaks forth in the barren land and causes streams in the desert. Joy is what helps us be in it for the long haul. Joy is roses in winter. Joy is the highway in the wilderness, leading us safely into the arms of a loving and liberating God. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of the watching, God of the waiting, be present with us.
God of the watching, may the circle of the Advent wreath remind us of your infinite love, which has no beginning or end. Help us to remember that you are with us always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the waiting, we pray for all in positions of authority in the world. We look forward to the day when the nations of the world walk in the light and your peace is experienced by all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the watching, we pray for the city of Davis and for all of Yolo County, that we may be a community of hope and light in this world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the waiting, we pray for the people of your church, that you may strengthen them for the ministry you have set before them. For bishops, deacons, priests, and lay people, that all of us may heed your call on our lives and be committed to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the watching, God of the waiting, we pray for the sick, the friendless, and the needy, that they may experience your healing presence. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list.
We pray also for those who were killed at Brown University and in Australia, for all those who were injured and traumatized, and all victims of gun violence.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer.
God of time and eternity and the source of comfort for all who mourn, we pray for all who have died, especially those we hold in our hearts and name before you now.
We pray for the repose of the soul of Kieran and for the Hagenjoss family as they mourn.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of abundance and hope, we are challenged in our worship to set our hearts and minds on the here and now, and to remember and be thankful for all you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hasten, O God, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we who now live by faith may with joy behold your Son at his advent in glorious majesty.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. We have Jim Jordan from the vestry who's here to help with the announcements. But if you have a celebration or milestone that you want to share, please do come forward also. Start making your way now to the microphone so we can hear you. All right, Jim.
Well, this is a very busy time. If you look at the yellow sheet, you'll see the details. Just a few highlights. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, you're invited to the Advent Lessons and Carols. This will be a pairing of the ancient Advent traditional texts with Native American music and reflections. It will be a beautiful service, and you're all invited. Today at noon, the Davis Progressive Youth Collective will present a Christmas Nativity at the Davis United Methodist Church. DPYC is a joint program of several Davis churches, and several of St. Martin's children will be performing there. St. Martin's has a history of giving our Christmas plate offering to an organization that serves others. The vestry, along with Social Justice and Outreach Committee, has chosen our longtime ministry partner, Short-Term Emergency Aid Committee, better known as STAKE, to be this year's recipient. Next Sunday, from 10:30 a.m. to noon, next Saturday from 10:30 a.m. to noon will be the greening of the church. Come help make the church beautiful for Christmas and enjoy the hot chocolate and cookies too. Education for Ministry Seminar on applying scripture, theology, and tradition and ethics in our lives will begin on Monday, January 12, 5 to 8 p.m. EFM requires a one-year commitment. Contact me or Colette Chabot if you are interested in this. Sign-ups begin today for providing food during the week of December 28 for the winter shelter at Paul's Place. Paul's Place houses a winter shelter for 10 people and facilitates motel housing for an additional 6. The annual meeting is January 25, when we'll elect vestry members and delegates to diocesan convention. You can nominate yourself or someone else for these important ways to sustain St. Martin and our diocese. See the yellow sheet for the details on nominations and for all the other things that are going on.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Yes, there are a lot of other things that are in your yellow sheet that we weren't able to share out loud. There's also, you know, always something that gets left out, and this week we didn't put in the music notes, so I would strongly encourage you to go online to read those, but you should know that just like we have, there are some incredible program notes for the lessons and carol service too, by the way, that are really worth reading. And I think it's one of those pieces from tonight that will be our anthem during the offertory, and it is sadly appropriate to note that it is a piece of music that was written in honor of the victims of the Uvalde shooting some years ago. So please just go back and take a look at those, and I hope you can, most of you will be able to come back and join us for lessons and carols. I see that we have an usher in the back with some goodie bags. If you are visiting or new here, there are no strings attached, but if you raise your hand, you will, I see some people that I know should raise their hand, you'll get a goodie bag. It has chocolate and our magazine and some other things for you to help us be in touch. I didn't see anyone come forward for the celebrations and milestones, but I know we had some sent in. Oh, and I have a hand raised over here. I'm sorry? Yeah, you have one? What do you have? Do you want to come up and say it in the... Okay, while you're coming up... Yes, you can be an example for us. And you got to get up close to the microphone, so I'm going to bring it down to you, and you can get really close to tell us your celebration or milestone.
My auntie's birthday was on Thursday.
Aw, a birthday. Thank you for sharing that with us. Sherry.
I just have a birthday on Tuesday.
Okay, just a birthday?
Yeah, it's one of those birthdays that just not, yeah, we don't necessarily say the number.
Okay. Okay. Kimo?
Yep. Thanks be to God, this week I also have a birthday. Another trip around the sun.
All right, God. We love it. Yeah.
And.
Oh, and we want to congratulate Kimo for completing the coursework for the lay preaching program. Yeah. Very, very cool. Congratulations on that. Come forward.
My mom graduated from nursing school yesterday.
Oh my gosh, wow. That is a big deal, wow. And we had some sent in also.
Yes, we did. Ethan Quas celebrated a birthday on Friday, so happy belated birthday.
Anything and was else? That it?
And we had some that we were not able to mention last week because we didn't do celebrations and milestones. So Ernie Lewis celebrated a birthday some time ago, as did as did Dan Hawkins. Should we say the number or not? No, he says no.
I thought
you
he
know
said
what
yes.
It is.
Did he say, oh, he said no. Okay.
Right. It's a significant one. We'll leave it at that. Venerable, significant age. Let's see, Dan Hawkins celebrated a birthday, and Debbie Hawkins' mom is celebrating her birthday this coming week, which is also a significant number.
Wonderful. Wow. So lots and lots to celebrate, many milestones. And we do that by saying together the prayer that can be found on page 5. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion on both sides at the altar rail today. Everyone is welcome to come forward to receive communion. It is homemade, gluten-free, and vegan bread. And you have a choice of when you are handed a piece of the bread, you can just consume it then. And if you don't want the wine that will come later, you can cross your arms, indicating that you do not wish to receive the wine at this time. You can also, instead, after you have consumed it, when the wine comes along, of course, you can take wine. And your other choice is to hold on to the piece of bread if you would like the server to intinct it for you and give it back to you to consume the wine and the bread together. All are welcome. If you cannot come forward, please let an usher know, and we will bring communion to you. And, of course, you can also come forward and cross your arms for a blessing. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us heirs of everlasting life, that when Christ shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord. Holy, holy, holy Lord. God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy and gracious God, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Maker of all. Jesus stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad,
en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Christ, who gathered into one things earthly and things heavenly, fill you with his joy and peace. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.